This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that your word is the truth and you're faithful to it. And that means that what Vanessa and I have agreed concerning this evening is absolutely going to come to fruition, that your voice is going to be heard, your will is going to be recognized, and we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. I just thank you right now that everything we say and do this evening brings glory to you, and our lives are moved in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, awesome. As you know, this month is a month where we're talking about marriage. We're talking about our homes and our families. And Pastor Bill asked Vanessa and I if we would share a couple things specifically. But before we do that, many of you may not know our story. And you see us at church. You know we're both elders here. Have been for quite a while, and it's a blessing and an honor to serve in that capacity here at the church. We don't take it lightly. It means a lot to us, and we just think this is the most amazing place, as you'll hear about in a few minutes. But I just want to let you know that Vanessa and I, we met on a blind date. I was working my stuff, Dubs. Back then, I had a big fro that was natural. And I had a black and orange band jacket on.
Oh. It's stolen from the band when you graduated.
Yeah, that's another story. If you're going to steal a band jacket from your high school, don't wear it at college when there's a chance that your previous principal is going to drive through campus one day and catch you walking down the street in it. Happened to me. I think it was the Holy Spirit. But anyway, we met on a blind date. We went out. I can tell you exactly what she was wearing that night. She's completely forgotten what I was wearing that night because she wasn't enthralled. I was. Anyway, we dated for a while, decided to get married.
I actually asked him to get married.
She did ask me. And I'm a processor, so it took me a little while to give her an answer.
He was graduating from college, and I was just a sophomore, and I'm like, okay, so what's going on? Are we going to get married or what? And he was like, oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, we're getting married.
I hate being pressured like that. So I said, yeah, we're going to get married. So we drove up to northern Indiana to where her mother lived, and I did the gentlemanly deal. I took her mother into the living room and said, Virginia, I want to ask you a question. And she said, yeah. And I said, I would really like to have Vanessa's hand in marriage, so I would like your blessing. And she said no. I mean, she really said no. I'm not joking. She definitely said no.
37 years later.
So now we've been married 37 years. She and I'm talking about her mother and I, are like this. We're tight. And that is in a family that between our siblings and our parents have experienced 9 divorces. And we've been married 37 years in a week. So, that's just to let you know that, yeah, thank you. That's just to let you know that God works miracles. And the foundation of our lives is built upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And that's what has made it manageable all these years. And I don't mean manageable. I mean fruitful and incredible. But you don't have to accept the legacies of your families if you don't want to. You can if you choose to, but you don't have to. And that pertains to your emotions, your traditions, your health. You know, we've got a new, I don't have my dad's health flowing through me. I have Jesus' health flowing through me. You know, we have a new bloodline. And so anyway, I just wanted to share that with you to let you know that we are the products of decisions, all of us. We are where we are today based on decisions that we've made, good and bad. And that's why we're sitting here. I mean, the decisions that we've made that have brought us to this point, it's just amazing. And last week you heard Terry and Julie Fisher, and they are very big planners. They're very big intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight you're looking at a different kind of couple. And so when I look back on these 37 years, it's just this beautiful mosaic that's incredible that we didn't have a clue most of the time what we were doing.
And I will say that Scott and I did not come from perfect families whatsoever. I mean, I know people say dysfunction, but we did not come from storybook homes. I personally grew up in a family of alcoholics and divorce, and Scott grew up in a lot of divorce too. So, I mean, we didn't have like perfect scenarios, but the most amazing thing about God's word and about God's hand on your life and God calling your name out of darkness, you know, even before I was in my mother's womb, that he had a plan for me, is that that lineage has already been pre-planned and predestined by God's word. And so we're a product of God's blessing on our life and God's hand directing us and us just saying yes to his amazing plan.
And we're a product of the local church. And so that's what we want to share with you about this evening. We just want to talk about how important the local church is to us and to our family. I told you about our marriage to lead to the fact that we didn't have a honeymoon. We didn't have any money. Vanessa had her wedding dress made by a neighbor in their small town because we just didn't have anything. And it's interesting because we left where we got married and drove to St. Louis where we had moved. And the very first weekend there, we said, one thing we know to do, well, Pastor Bill always says, if you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. The one thing we knew to do was find a church. Now, we were not living for God, but we knew we needed that in our lives. And so the very first weekend we were there, we were visiting a church. I gave my life to the Lord in high school at a Baptist church in my small town in Indiana. I didn't serve God, but I had become a Christian. And so there was a church near us in St. Louis that said Hope Baptist Church. And then in real little bitty letters under it, it said A Charismatic Fellowship. Well, we didn't read the little letters. So we thought, okay, that's something we're familiar with. Well, we weren't familiar at all. But it changed our lives. We ended up just jumping in because we knew that we had to make a quality decision for us. We didn't have anybody, nobody we knew, no family, nobody around. It was just us. And I'm telling you, it's like the Lord drew us in, and these people were full of love, and they loved on us. We ended up going to church there every single service, which was not easy and not convenient for us. We were riding a bus to work and back, and it's a long story, but we made every service, and we ended up on staff there. And I'll tell you, that was the foundation for the rest of our lives. Yep. That's where we understood discipline. We learned submission and authority. And God began to direct our lives there in the midst of our ignorance. I was going to say poverty. Ignorance is a better word. But I mean, God is so incredible. If we'll just take steps, let him guide us, he'll do amazing things. And so we were there, and we were on staff for a few years and got fired. So anybody else here been fired by a church? Anybody? Are we the only ones? We can't be. That's good to have on your... Oh, awesome! Yes!
No, just kidding.
It's good to have on our resumes. But anyway, all that said, that's why we're in Tulsa. I ended up being hired by a company to work somewhere else. And after I'd gone through training, they came back and said, we'd like to send you to Tulsa. We'd never been west of St. Louis. I said, sure, Cowboys and Indians and yeehaw, let's go. And I'm telling you, we came to Tulsa and immediately got plugged into a church, and our lives are changed. What I really want to talk to you about are two primary things in our lives, and we're going to fast forward to where in the year 1999, Pastor Bill and Pastor Sandy, who we'd met years ago, and we actually helped them at the very beginning of Guts Ministries, not the church, the outreach Guts. We were on the original board, and which isn't saying much, because if you saw the other two couples that were the board, you'd recognize it's not saying all that much. But we all had a vision, and we had a passion, and Pastor Bill and Sandy challenged us. And for the first times in our lives, we were really uncomfortable being Christians because they forced us out of our comfort zone. They forced us to minister in a way and to people we'd never really come into contact with. And it was amazing. But anyway, so we ended up moving away before Guts ever became a church, and we were gone for almost 10 years. While we were in Indiana then, Pastor Bill and Pastor Sandy had called and said, we want you all to move back. We want you to help at the church. And we'd talked to them through the years about that, but nothing very serious. And so we were going to a convention in Kansas City, and they drove up to Kansas City, and they offered us a position here at the church to move here. And what was your feelings when they did that?
I was nervous inside and jittery, and, like, I didn't want to do that because our kids were in school. I didn't want to make that move. I mean, everything I'd wanted in my whole life was to be back in Tulsa, but then when I was faced with that decision of uprooting my family, I got cold feet, and it was the unknown, you know, what was going to happen. So that was like the first time I really understood submission to Scott, letting Scott make that decision, because I kind of grew up like, I'm independent, I'm going to make my own decision, you know, we're going to do this together. And I submitted to the Scott, to the decision that Scott had made.
And it was a big decision because Megan was in college. She was just about to finish her second year at Purdue. Caitlin and Hunter were in school, and we'd been there for 9 years. We were both originally from Indiana. We were near our families, and so we had this decision to make. And we just decided, you know what? There were other things involved also. There were many other facets to this decision that made it really, really kind of traumatic. We said, you know what? We're going to trust God. We're going to take the position. They have confidence in us. We love them. We know that our heart is to help serve them at the church, and so we're going to do it. So we accepted the position. I went in and told my company I'd been with for 20 years. I was leaving. They asked why. I told them. They said, are you nuts? And said, no, we're excited. It's going to be amazing. And so we ended up moving to Tulsa. And so the very first point that I want to make is big decisions. We cannot be afraid to make big decisions. God wants us to be big decision makers. You know, I'm good at the little ones. I like the little ones. But the big decisions are tough, and I'm a processor. And I think a lot of times Vanessa thinks I've forgotten about the decisions I need to make because I'm processing. But I had to make that decision, and I'm telling you, the minute I made that decision, peace flooded our marriage. We knew it was the right thing to do. I mean, we had butterflies because we're like, okay, how is this going to work? We have to sell a house here. We have to buy a house there. We have to transfer the kids from school. What are we going to do with the income? What are we going to do with all these things? But complete peace. And so I want to encourage you, when it comes to your family and serving God, don't be afraid to make a big decision that's for the best of you and your family.
I was thinking about that today, and the scripture, Philippians 4:13, came to mind about we're called with a higher call, and the world has a soft call or a low call, and I feel like we have a high call, that it's going to be extreme, the decisions that we're going to make, and I feel like we're constantly, if we compare the decisions we make to the world, you know, like we believe for God's healing power to flow through our bodies. We believe in the tithe. The decisions that we make are a high call. They're a heavenly call. They're higher than any other call that you're going to see and you're going to make. And I think that's one thing we want. I want my kids to see me making extreme decisions from that higher call. If I make just a soft call or a low call, you know, I'm going to decide to be a soccer mom, or I'm going to decide to be a part of the PTA or whatever. Those things that just kind of
which are okay, by the way. We want Christians involved in all
of
those.
Right, but if you just blend into the world and you don't make those big decisions, those big extreme calls, I don't think your kids are going to remember those calls, you know, later on when you're a parent and you're making they're remembering milestones. They remember those big decisions, those extreme, that higher call that you submitted to or committed your life to.
And the big decision to uproot and move here was the big decision. If I look back at our lives and say, what's the biggest single decision we've ever made, other than getting married, that would be it. The fact that we moved back here. But there are big decisions that we all have to make in our Christian walk. And so we want to just briefly discuss a few of those before we talk about what this local church really means to us. The first big decision that we all face is the tithe. Are we going to trust God with our resources? That's the bottom line. Actually, the bottom line is, are we going to trust God with His resources? Because our finances are His resources anyway. He's provided them to us. And so are we willing to commit to Him? We actually sat in a church for a while that taught that whatever you, if you can't give 10%, give 3%, and that's your tithe. No, it's not. Sorry. I don't believe that for a second. It's 10%. And it's 10% whether you have very little, or 10% whether you have a ton. And I've known people both extremes. And oftentimes, it's a lot easier for the person with nothing to give 10% than it is for the person who has the world to give 10%. But that's a key, because that sets you free. That redeems the rest of your stuff, that commitment to the tithe. And I know a lot of you are tithers, but I just want to encourage you, those that are not, it may seem impossible. It's not impossible. Trust God with it. And He's going to honor that.
Your flesh or your sound and reason in life will tell you that it's not going to work. I remember when we discussed the tithe and we sat under teaching about the tithe, I felt like we're jumping off a cliff. We're going to give our money. And now I know the tithe, when I look at our money, I know that that money is going to be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And God will do so much more with that 10% or that offering, that special offering that we give also, than what we could ever have done with our own hands. And so to me, it's such a blessing when we together, we're in agreement about that and we tithe. I know, what's God going to do with that 10%? And it's always amazing. And it's been such an amazing, the supply that's come back to us.
What's awesome with it is when you commit to it, you never even have to discuss it again. It's never an issue. I mean, it just is what we do. It's what our kids do. Our kids tithed on their money they made babysitting. They tithed on their money they made mowing lawns. I mean, that's just what we do. And God honors that. It's so
awesome.
It's freedom. It just sets you free from the bondage of stuff. And so, but it's a big decision, and I recognize that. And I want to encourage you, it's a decision you can make. The second big decision is to commit. And commit to so many things, but here we're talking about the church. So committing to the local church is a big decision. For some people, it's a decision they'll go their entire lifetime and never make. And it's a shame, because that also is a decision that will set you free. And in fact, you know, I hear people say, well, we decided to try this church. Well, can I just give you some advice? It's not going to work. If you're going to try it, it's not going to. That's like, I'm going to try marriage. Have any of you ever had friends or coworkers say, you know, I'm going to try this marriage thing? Do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Don't even try it. If you're not going to commit to it, that's like the big billboard. Some of you have heard me say, I hate the big billboard that says, try God. Is that goofy? Don't try God. Jump in. Commit. Dive in. Grab a hold of God and never let go. Don't try it. Because if you try it the first time there's a disappointment, you're going to untry it. You're going to try something else. So committing is a big deal. And I love in the Word, where it says virtually, if the Word, if it's going to transform your life, if it's going to become real to you, you have to commit to studying the Word. You have to commit to remembering the Word. You have to commit to meditating on the Word. And the Bible says that when you do that, you're going to be blessed in everything that you do. Isn't that awesome? But we need to commit to that. And so commitment is a huge deal.
Yep.
You want to say anything about commitment?
I'm committed to you.
And the third big decision that we all face as Christians, and this is a big one, is to serve. We have learned that we are our best when we are serving other people. And I know many of you have found the same thing to be true. And Jesus was very clear about the fact he didn't come to be served. He came to serve. His whole life was about service. It's contrary to all the natural laws around us, but it's the truth. And I'm asking you to trust me that if you've never really committed to serving, and I mean serving faithfully, in an area in the local church, commit to it. Go through the growth track if you haven't. And the whole goal there is to help you find a place that's going to be fulfilling for you to serve. But make sure that you commit. And I don't mean just commit to next Sunday, I'm going to do this. I mean, make a commitment. God, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to serve other people. And God is going to honor that. He's absolutely going to bless what you put your hand to. And the strength of every local church is the volunteers. I mean, the nightmare's about to come up. You know what makes the nightmare successful? Volunteers, people serving. I mean, it's incredible to me.
It's amazing when we moved here and Caitlin was a freshman and Hunter was in the fifth grade. And like you said, Megan was a sophomore in college, whatever, something like that. And we moved in May and our first fall, then in September, we started with the nightmare. And I remember our kids, Caitlin and Megan, being in the ministry tent and praying with people. You know, Caitlin's a freshman in high school and they, you know, they would, wear their volunteer badge when they, you know, that you wear when you check in, and they would, you know, put a notch on the people that they had prayed with through the season. And that wristband that she wore throughout the whole month stayed on her mirror in her bathroom. You know how they put pictures and scriptures and everything? Well, that stayed there through high school and through college of the people that she had led to the Lord. And so, you know, in serving here and getting to know people, and actually the beauty of God's kingdom is serving along somebody that, you know, in your normal life you might not have ever ended up with, but the beauty is that God knows you and knows that road and knows that plan and puts people together for us to bridge, to be a bridge for each other. And I'm richer for the people that I get to meet when you think that you're actually bringing something to the table. But I have always been humbled by serving and by what people have brought to me, and that's the beauty of God's kingdom. And you know that just sitting in here, that any of you that have been involved in Nightmare or, you know, the DC or whatever we've done, what a rich experience is to be shoulder to shoulder with somebody and, you know, get to bring something to somebody else that is in need. But just being in a church that still has an altar call, still believes in evangelizing, still believes in reaching out to people and getting to pray with people, getting to lay hands on people and see them recover and pray the prayer of faith with people is just such an amazing experience that all of us here get to be a part of. And that's rich. I mean, I think that Scott and I are so rich in our life, and it's not, you know, belongings or material things. It's the richness that God's kingdom offers us. I feel like I wouldn't trade my life with anybody, and it has so much to do with serving and being a part of God's kingdom.
And when we moved, the kids were younger, as we said, and we did not negotiate whether we were going to church ever. We just didn't. We were going, period. I mean, I don't remember we really ever discussed it. We just all went. And I called Hunter today, and I asked him what he would share tonight if he was sharing about that time and about the commitment. And he said, you know, I don't remember it ever being an issue because it's who we are. It's what we do. I mean, isn't that amazing? And I'm just believing that your kids are going to say that to you also. It's just who we are. It's just what we do to be there. And he made an interesting statement. He said, Dad, when I think back to when we first moved here, the first couple of years, every meaningful relationship that we had in our lives, everybody that meant something to me in my life was through church. I mean, that's pretty amazing for a kid who's got coaches and he's got classmates. So it just tells me how amazing God is. Now, he didn't always want to come to youth. I know that. Caitlin didn't always want to come, but they did. And Caitlin said, I asked her, I said, how'd you stick? What was it that, you know, I know it wasn't always the most fun thing in the world. And she said, what made it fun and what helped me meet people was serving. And so, you know, our kids, we need to encourage them, serve. Don't just go to youth, serve there. Mm-hmm. Ask the leaders, ask Chris, ask Chano, ask, you know, the younger kids, ask Sean, what can I do to help here? And they'll give them things to do, believe me. There's a lot to do. And your kids will just be incredibly amazed at how fulfilling it is.
We've had friends along the way, you know, as we've been here, like, you know, wow, you guys are there a lot. Wow, you really are really committed. I mean, it's made a statement to our friends because there are not things in life that people have to commit to that and to show that kind of commitment and faithfulness. The world does not have that. And so, you know, all the things that came up in our life, the opportunities, the parties, the celebrations, were like, we would love to come. It would be amazing to come, but we have church. And people arrange their things around us because we didn't waver. We didn't budge. There wasn't another thing that we scheduled on church nights. This was number one, and the rest of the world was after that. And for our kids, too, I mean, there were games and things that had to happen, but this is what our family did. And excuse me. I know that we were training them, and that's the step that they took. Not because we ever forced them, because that's what our family did. And we haven't missed anything.
It's amazing because how many of you like Pastor Bill's stance on healing, where God heals all the time? Can you imagine what would happen if he ever got up here and said, God does not heal all the time? You know, this one time he didn't, whatever. I mean, that completely changes the rest of the commitment, doesn't it? Or if you're a tither, But God may not open the windows of heaven over you. He may not take care. I mean, that blows the entire thing, right? It's either, it's all or nothing. You're either in or you're not. And that's the way we feel about the church, and our kids, incredibly enough, feel that way as well. And that's just God. I'm telling you, it's all God. I'd love to say it's great parenting. It's not. But it's just, it's we committed, and that's why commitment is so big in the kingdom. It's huge in the kingdom, and so we want to talk about five things very quickly in closing that the church, this local church, means to us. Number one, it's where we grow. Literally, in our lives, this is where we grow. This is where we become better, and not just better Christians, better people. I'm a sales rep for a company. I'm a better salesman when I'm committed and serving and growing in my church.
Yeah.
I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. I'm a better brother to my siblings. I'm better at everything when I'm growing here in my local church. The word changes everything. And that's what's beautiful about the Christian life. And we think, oh my gosh, it's such a huge commitment. It's such a huge time thing. It's such all this. No, it's not. It's easy because when you seek the kingdom first, all that other stuff's covered. It's all taken care of. I mean, it's an incredible plan.
Speaking of growth, I mean, our kids did grow up here, and they met their spouse. All of them met their spouses here. Our daughters' husbands both were interns that, you know, they met here and everything. But they grew up watching us commit. They grew up watching us tithe. They grew up watching us bring home a football from Nightmare, being on the black, or, you know, all of those things that they, you know, we didn't sit down and say, hey, we were a lead pack, or, you know, I mean, they just saw us commit and be a part of our lives, and they saw our roots grow deep, and they never thought, I wonder what mom and dad think about something. I wonder where mom and dad are going to land on something here. I mean, that growth and being stuck here put a sense of security in our kids, knowing they knew where we were going to land on a decision if there was a topic. They knew where we were going to be someplace that we were going to be for them. They were going to, you know, if something brought up, we're like, let's pray for your friends. Let's pray for your, you know, your test that's coming up. Let's believe for a full ride to go to college. All of those things, they knew where we were going to land on those because we were committed and our roots were growing deep here, and we weren't going to waver.
That's awesome. So number one, this is where we grow in all areas of our life. Number two, it causes us to be blessed outside these walls. Psalm 92:13, you hear it over and over and over again here. When you're planted in the house of the Lord, you'll flourish in the courts of our God. And that's literally true. I had something happen today. It was completely 100% the favor of God that caused it to happen. I'd like to say it was my great ability. I'd like to say it was my charismatic personality. It was nothing. I had nothing to do with it. It was all God. And I'm telling you, that's amazing. And I know it's because I'm planted in his house.
A long time ago, somebody gave us a, I think when we first bought our first house, they gave us a picture with a scripture. It was Proverbs. What can I think of that? Proverbs.
I don't know. It's your story.
you know the plans I have for you, Proverbs 29. Jeremiah 29:11. Anyway, they give us that little picture, you know, and it had Jeremiah 29:11 on it. It had like a compass that I know the plans I have for you to give you a future and a hope. And then I'm making this all tie together.
We've got 44 seconds, so we need to...
Okay, and then one time we were at this church service and somebody prayed over Scott and spoke a scripture about favor over Scott. And so those two scriptures for, you know, 20 years, 30 years, you know, when we would face something, I'd remember like, oh my gosh, I know this is going to work out because his plans are already good for us. I mean, he wants us to prosper. The plans are going to be good. I mean, we've got favor. So I knew going along that we were going to be blessed because God had said it and we were standing. Those were like the foundation scriptures in our relationship and our marriage.
And they've come true. I mean, it's amazing. That word on favor was given to me by Dick Mills 25 or 26 years ago.
We're not that old.
And I'm telling you, yeah, we are. And I mean, it's amazing. It's incredible. anyway, I've got a few more things real quick we have to go over. The first one about the church is it's where we grow. The second one is it causes us to flourish outside these walls, which is essential for a great life. The third is this is where we connect. This is where our relationships are. Our most important, most valuable relationships are here at the local church. We have friends outside the church. We really do. But when we seek godly counsel, when we need someone we know will have our back, it's here within the church. If you come and go and don't connect, don't have relationships, it's very difficult. The devil's, he's ferocious. So make sure you connect. Make sure you bond with some people. Pray for friends. We did that. Our kids did that. God brings some great Christian friends to our church. We need some fellowship. And he always does it. So that's really important. The fourth thing is, it's where we go when we need help. We don't always come to church because we need help. But I'll tell you, it's nice to know where you can go when you need it. You know, there's a lot of scriptures on that in James. You know, if you're happy, sing. We'll all sing. You know, if you're sick, then let's pray for one another. Let's confess our faults to one another. This is where we go. This is our doctor's office right here. When we need help, this is where it's taken care of. There are so many people here, faith-filled, God-loving people that will absolutely pray for you. And I love it because I know people here that when they say they'll commit to pray for you, they actually do it. And that's a big deal because we've all had people say it in our lives. Yeah, brother, I'll pray for you, stand with you. And then they forget about it, you know. But you're going to find people here that'll stand with you, and that's critical. And the final thing that this church represents to us, it's a place where we get to hang out with our kids. Our kids aren't kids anymore. They're adults. Our kids have kids. In fact, tomorrow by noon, we're going to have another one. Not us. Not the two of us. But anyway, so we come to church, and it's where our family is. I mean, it's amazing. And the Bible says if you train up a child in the way he goes, when he's old, he won't depart from it. I don't think that means talk to him about it, teach him. I think that means you live the Christian life. You model that. You example that. You mentor that in your kids. And I'm telling you, you'll see them in the, so many of you already have. You have kids serving in the nightmare, reaching their friends. Is that not the most rewarding thing ever? And then when they grow up, they're here and they're in departments. And they instead of being in the youth, they're youth leaders. I mean, it's just phenomenal.
Live how you want your kids to live. Like yep. Whatever the decisions you're making, they're watching you. And so what we want to live is we want to sit here and go pick up our kids and grandkids from the nursery and serve alongside our kids in the ministry tent and serve food to people and give out bikes at Joyce Meyer with our kids. And it's an amazing life because we get to take our kids with us.
And what's amazing is if you have kids who are grown or growing and they're not serving God, they're not where you want them to be spiritually, start today. It can change today. I promise you, it can change
Absolutely. Like
that.
Absolutely.
We've seen it 100 or 1,000 times. So we just want to encourage you. Man, commit, serve, trust God. For some of us, honestly, our kids aren't serving God because we're not serving God. It's, you know, I hate to say that, but it's pretty simple. But really, it's the truth. So jump in with both feet. Live the life that if you could point to your child and say, this is the life I want for him or her, then you live that life.
Yeah.
You model that. Yeah. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for tonight. Thank you so much for your word. Father, we love you so much. We recognize that the life that you have for us far exceeds all of our expectations. We know you want things that are better than we want for ourselves. And we accept that. We're so grateful for that, Father. And we trust you with every part of our lives. So tonight, very quickly, if you are a parent and you recognize maybe you need a little turn in your life, you need a little boost in your life, you need maybe a little more commitment, maybe a little more service, maybe something like that, maybe you need to mentor the life that you want your kids to live a little differently than you have in the past, very quickly, if you would you just lift your hand up? I want to pray for you real quickly. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you guys. Oh, that's awesome. Anybody else? This is just between you and the Lord. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. This is just a commitment that you're making to God. And the great thing about God bless you. Thank you so much for that. That's awesome. God bless you. God bless you. That's awesome. Thank you so much. Father, I just thank you right now for these commitments that these people are making tonight, God. You know their hearts. We don't know their hearts, but you do. And God, I'm asking you right now just to reach deep, deep down inside of them and just fill them, flood them, in fact, with the assurance that you're doing something great with their lives and you're doing something incredible in the lives of their kids. God, I pray right now for them. I ask you just to continue to lead them. Make your voice known to them. We declare they're your sheep. They're never going to follow the voice of a stranger. They're only going to follow your voice. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you just make yourself real in their lives like they've never known you before. Fill them with the confidence to make good decisions, and then flood them with your peace to know you're taking care of it. You promise that even though we have plans, you direct our steps. They will not make a bad decision because they're your sheep. You lead them into good pastures. So, Father, I pray for them right now. And right now, we all agree for their kids. And I pray right now a brand new walk with the Lord over their kids. Holy Spirit, you guard them wherever they are. You woo them back into the kingdom. And, Father, I ask you to bring incredible Christian friends into their lives. Give them great Christian friends that they can hang out with and be safe. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray for them right now that they walk in health, that these kids are going to experience your life in them the rest of their lives. We declare right now they will not stray, they will not walk away, but they will fulfill the call that you have on their life and the purpose for their lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.